Hi, I'm Jacob Alexi.
And I'm Simina Passat. And today we're going to talk about how Hoki App can help you deliver successful UWP apps. So if you're a developer working on a UWP app, or if you're thinking starting developing for Universal Windows Platform for Windows 10, this session is definitely for you. And let me give you a short overview about what we are going to talk about today. We are going to start with some basics about Hoki App and what our product is about. And then we are going to move on some core features of Hoki App, such as beta distribution, crash reporting, and user metrics. And this is a demo pack session. And Jacob is going to do a bunch of cool demos and show how easy it is to onboard to Hoki App. And finally, we are going to show a bit how to automate processes and how to onboard to mobile DevOps with Visual Studio Team Services and Hoki App. So let's get started. We have a lot of stuff to cover, and we want to make sure that you guys understand how cool Hoki App is for developing apps and UWP apps in particular. So Hoki App is a service for mobile and apps developers, and we support you to take your app and to have a successful app and develop a successful app and also maintain it and take it to the store and be super successful. And I want to give a bit of background with how Hoki App was born. And Hoki App was born specifically to support mobile and app developers. And these app developers have a set of specific issues that they see every day. For instance, once we have an app running on our device and we want to take this app to some testers to try it out, we already see here some issues that we as mobile developers see them. And once people start using our apps, we have no idea how the app is behaving. If people start complaining that the app is crashing, we as developers would like to find out where exactly and why the app is crashing. And Hoki App was created especially for you, app developers and mobile developers, to conquer these problems. Now, from what I said, it doesn't sound like we're going to talk about Hoki today. Not really. So why are we called Hoki App? Well, we get this question almost every single week. I was wondering myself the same when I joined the team. Why are we called Hoki App? And I want to share this with you guys. The project started as an open source project a few years ago and was targeted specifically at iOS developers and helping them take their build from their developer machine to users' devices. And this was an open source project. And in the Apple world, this distribution process is called ad hoc distribution. So the founders came up with a wordplay and thought about saying that ad hoc is the key, and therefore this open source project was called Hoki. And as this project grew more traction from contributors, it grew into a real product, and it was called Hoki App. Now, we hope you're not too disappointed that we won't talk about Hoki today. But if you're developing Universal Windows Platform apps, we are sure that what we're going to talk about is going to be really exciting for you as well. So let's move to a few core features of Hoki App and understand how Hoki App can help app developers to be successful. And Jacob is going to have a lot of cool demos. But firstly, let's see a bit about the features. The first core feature that we're going to talk about is beta distribution. And what beta distribution is about is taking a build from your developer machine, or maybe from a continuous integration build, and put it to testers or stakeholders' devices. And hand in hand with these beta distribution features come feedback. And users will want to show to tell you their feedback and to tell you more about what they need. And for you as a developer, it's extremely powerful to know what users want and to be able to engage in a two-way communication between you and your testers. The second core feature we are going to talk about is crash reporting. And crash reporting is really an essential part of the mobile development workflow, because the first complaint we hear about our customers is that the app is crashing. And we as developers want to have to know exactly why and where the app is crashing. And Hoki App is a great tool for doing that. Finally, the last feature we are going to talk about is user metrics. This is one of the latest features we introduced in Hoki App. And we introduced this because we heard from our customers the need and their need to find out more about how users are adopting their app and how users are engaging with the app and really what's the user behavior in an app. So now that you know a bit what Hoki App is and what our core features are, I want to move a bit in each of these features and to really understand how these features apply to your Universal Windows Platform app. So let's start with beta distribution. I already briefly explained what beta distribution is about. It is about taking your build, your developer build, and put it to a user's device. And some of you might remember how this used to work in the past. I certainly remember how I was working in a lab, and I used to have an iOS app that I wanted to distribute to different people that were working in the lab. And these people were not very technical. So they used to come with a stack of devices to my computer, and I had to take them on USB cable and rebuild everything and put it in a device. It was not the favorite part of my day, definitely. And some of you maybe were doing this by sending emails back and forth with instructions, or maybe with some drop share location somewhere on the network, and people would have to download it. Not an ideal experience, and HockeyApp is here to help you, and we really support you not to have to have any of these headaches going forward. So for you as a developer, the process is really, really easy. All you have to do is take your build from your machine and upload it to HockeyApp, and to invite a few testers or a few teams of testers to try out your product. And you do that just by sending them a simple email, which you can do from the HockeyApp interface. We are going to show a bit later how to do that. And this is a really easy process. Users will get the email, they will sign up or sign into HockeyApp, they can download and install the app easy like that on their machine, and it's really easy. Now you might wonder how this works in different teams, and if it works for you as a single developer, if it works for a bigger team. Well, we have good news. HockeyApp is supporting you whether you're a single developer working on a single app, or you're part of a really big team with a bunch of apps on different platforms, with a bunch of different rings and layers of releasing and of managing users. We have some cool user management and team management features, and we can also support restricting certain builds and restricting access to certain users and teams. But for now, enough talking. Let's see a bit how this beta distribution process works specifically for Universal Windows Platform apps.
So, first, some basic setup. I've created a simple UWP application that I have the source code for up on Visual Studio Team Services, for which we'll be coming back to throughout the demo. And the project is a simple project. You can see here that it essentially has a couple buttons, some text. And the first step, as Samina mentioned, for me to use HockeyApp is to take a build of my application and upload it to HockeyApp. There's a few different ways to do that. This one really nice way to do this for UWP developers is actually in Visual Studio directly. I can simply right-click on my project, go to the HockeyApp menu item, and hit Distribute Application. What this does is it actually connects up to HockeyApp and allows me to upload a build directly from Visual Studio. And Visual Studio does a lot of the work for UWP, which involves zipping up a few of the files that are necessary to actually distribute the application to devices. The first step is to actually sign into HockeyApp. The simplest way to do that is to hit the Get My Token link, and it takes me to the HockeyApp portal. If I weren't logged in, it would prompt me to log in. Otherwise, it displays my key for me that I can then use within Visual Studio. I've already done this, and I'm logged in as the user that we're using for this demo. And the first thing it asks me to do is what kind of release do I want? In this case, we're just going to do a beta release. It asks me for the application name. I haven't yet created one, so I'm going to create a new application. And for this, it will simply use my project name. And it asks me to point it to a folder where I have the package for my application already built. I'm not going to do that step here. I've already done it. The only thing to note about that step is we recommend that you do a release build. The reason for that is the debug builds actually have some framework dependencies that not all your testers' devices will have on them. So it's easier and you tend to be more successful if you just do release builds. It gives me a couple of options as to whether or not I want to enable downloads and whether or not I want to notify testers. In this case, I'm not going to notify testers, but I will open the download. I hit next. I can type in some release notes. So these release notes will be available to anybody that will be downloading my application. In this case, this is a new app. So I'll just put, this is my first version. And I'll hit finished. So at this point, Visual Studio will take the build, zip up the files, as I mentioned, and upload it to my HockeyApp account, where I'll then have an application available for me on my dashboard. As I mentioned earlier, another way to upload builds from into HockeyApp is from the dashboard itself. And you can do that essentially from the application overview page, which I'll show in just 1 second. The link that opened up, as you can see here, took me to the specific version that I uploaded. If I go back, I'm actually taken to the application homepage itself. It's as simple as dragging and dropping a build right here if you want a new version created. And if you look here, you can see that the version that I uploaded from Visual Studio is already available for download.
So it seems like right now we have the first step of the beta distribution process done. You as a developer have uploaded your build to HockeyApp. I want to test it out. I want to see your application on my device.
Sure. So like you mentioned, so far I have a build. I haven't invited anybody to use it, and there isn't really a way for somebody to figure out how to get this. So as we talked about earlier, HockeyApp has various ways to manage users and teams. And if you just go within the applications to the users tab, you can get a sense for how this works. You can either invite an individual user, you can create a team, and manage distribution that way. And for this demo, we'll do a simple flow, which is just an invite an individual user. And so I'm going to invite you to this application. App build tester at Outlook. I'm going to give you a tester role. So if I wanted to invite other developers, I can do that here. And the main difference is they'll get a different perspective on the application. They'll have more data available to them. But for our purposes here, we're going to make you a tester role. And we're going to give a message saying, please test my really cool new application. And I'm saving that off. And right away, HockeyApp is going to send an invite to you. And why don't we switch over to your machine and go through what that flow looks like for testers.
Yeah, so let's switch to my machine. And right now, I wear the head of a tester on. And I'm the HockeyApp tester. And I will go to my email and see if I got any invitation from HockeyApp. And there it goes. I have an invitation. I have an email. It says, please test my really cool new application. If I scroll down, I have a link to show invitation. And if I was a new tester, I would also be able to understand how it works and HockeyApp walks me through the process. Luckily, I've used HockeyApp several times before, so I know that I have to click the show invitation link, which takes me to the place where I can accept invites for my invitation. And here I see Jacob has invited me to Hello UWP app, which is a Windows app. And I'm going to accept this because I'm really eager to try it out and see what Jacob has built. Now I can go to my dashboard. And dashboard is this place where testers have access to all their apps that they have been added to. They can download their apps, they can install the apps, and that's what I'm going to do right now. So Hello UWP app is the app that Windows Jacob has developed. And you can see right here a download button, which I'm going to click because I want to download and install the app to my computer. OK, here is my app. You can see it's a zip file, which I'm going to extract on my machine. And this is the content of the zip file. And here I can see a few different files. I have the Apex bundle, which is actually the package that I'm going to have to install, their certificate used to sign the app, as well as a PowerShell script. And this is specific for UWP. And to install this bundle, I will want to run the PowerShell script from PowerShell from my machine. So let's go to PowerShell. And let's change to the right directory. And now I can run the PowerShell script. I'm going to get asked a few questions. I want to run this PowerShell script, so I'm going to hit R. And right now, the app is getting installed on my device. It shows like the app was successfully installed. I'll press Enter to continue. And now I should be able to run the app. And here it is. The app was installed on my device. HockeyApp is the best. Oh, that looks like a great app, Jacob. very creative. Now I want to give you a bit of feedback. Because I think that's pretty nice, but I would like the font to be a bit bigger and, if possible, aligned with the buttons. I'm really a bit of UI freak, so I want to be aligned. So I'll go back to HockeyApp. And from a tester perspective, I have here a feedback tab. And what the feedback tab does is that for me, as a tester, it makes it really easy to send feedback to developers. And for the developer, you'll see later, it makes very easy to engage in a two-way conversation with a tester. So I'm going to put a subject, great app, really great. And my message is going to be, can you make the font a bit smaller? If I wanted to, I could include an attachment, for instance, a screenshot, if this would be a more complicated app, but for now it's not really needed, so I'm gonna simply send you the feedback. And now we can move back to the tester machine and to the main demo machine and see what's the tester perspective from getting feedback from a user.
Great, so we're gonna switch over now back to the development machine where we can now see the feedback that Samina sent me. If I go to the dashboard in Hockey App, so this is again the application overview page, there's a tab up here called feedback. And so if I go there, I'll see the feedback that Samina just sent me. And click on that. Great app. Can you make the font a bit smaller and align, please? So I'm not quite sure. The font seems pretty big already to me. I don't know if she's being sarcastic or not. But in general, I can use this flow to gather information from the variety of testers that I've invited to use my application, some of which maybe I don't know or don't have a personal relationship with. So this is a great way for me to have a two-way conversation. And you can see here, I can actually reply back to her. And we can go back and forth asking, OK, what did you mean here? Did you want it aligned to the left, to the right? And we can kind of work through that way. So this is a great, easy way for me as a developer to gain feedback from the people that I've shared my build with. So at this point, I've got a basic UWP application. I have it up on Visual Studio Team Services. I have a build uploaded to Hockey App, and I have it ready for distribution to a set of users. Now we can see what's next.
What is next is that me as a user, what can happen to me is that the app can start crashing. And as users, we know how this happens. It is often that we use some of our favorite app and they crash right there in our hands. And this is extremely, extremely annoying, to me at least. And as developers, we really want that our users will have the best user experience possible. And if possible, we want to have some apps that are never crashing. And crashes have bigger consequences than just a bad user experience. Crashes are the number one reason why your app can get bad reviews in the store. And we all know that bad reviews in the store won't lead to having a successful app out there. And Hockey App is here to help you with this problem. And we really see crashes in all stages of developing an app. Whether this is your first build that you want to develop to distribute to a few testers, such as Jacob just showed in the demo, or maybe you have already a super successful app in the store and you want maybe to add a new feature or make some small changes, you can still introduce bugs and you can make your app to crash. And at Hockey App, we want to make sure that this doesn't happen to your app. And if it does, we want to make sure that you catch the issue as soon as possible and fix it so your users don't have to experience these issues in their app. All you have to do to use Hockey App crash reporting is to integrate the Hockey SDK in your app. And we are going to show a bit later how to do that. And what this really does is that the Hockey SDK will start collecting crashes as soon as they happen on your app. And you as a developer are going to be able to go to Hockey App to our web portal. And you're going to see their beautiful stack traces. And you are going to understand why and where and know how exactly you can fix these bugs and deliver a great user experience to your testers. Now in the mobile world, we have a few additional challenges, such as there are so many devices out there and everybody seems to have a different device somehow. So we really want to be able to understand where these crashes occur on which devices, and Hockey App is there to help you with this as well. And we provide additional information such as operating system on the device that the crash occurred, the device type, as well as additional information such as whether the device was jailbroken or not, and so on. Before I talk about UWP apps in particular, I want to give a bit of background with how we started doing crash reporting on Hockey App. Initially, Hockey App started doing crash reporting for iOS and Android apps. And for Apple platform in particular, what happens when you get a stack trace from a crashing app is that you will get memory addresses. And these memory addresses are not very useful for us as humans to understand what is wrong with the code. To get these stack traces from memory addresses to something that is easily readable for us and something that we can action on it, we have to apply a process called symbolication, or at least that's how we call it. And what this is that you have to apply a symbol file to a specific build. HockeyApp will run some magic on it. And in the end, you as a developer will see a beautiful stack trace that you can see exactly where in the code the crash occurred, and you know how to fix it, or at least you have a clue how you can fix it. Now you might wonder, what does all this have to do with you, since you are probably not developing on Apple, or at least right now we are talking about UWP developers. Historically, for .NET developers, this was not an issue. And every time a crash would occur at runtime, the stack trace would be already beautiful, symbolicated, and everything was coming out of the box. However, with the introduction of a universal Windows platform and Windows 10, Microsoft also introduced this new feature that is natively compiling the builds for users' devices. And this feature is really great in terms of performance. It makes apps run much faster, and it's a really great thing. But for developers, it also adds some additional burden, and you're gonna have to face these challenges that Apple and iOS developers really had to face them for years now. Not to worry, HockeyApp right now also supports symbolication and stack crash reporting for UWP apps, the same way as we do it for other platforms. To get a human readable stack trace, you will have to do one additional step other than integrating the Hockey SDK. And this is to upload a so-called symbol file that I talked a bit about it before. And you're gonna have to upload the symbol file to HockeyApp, and then HockeyApp will do the rest of the magic for you. And in the end, you're gonna have these beautiful stack traces that you can use in your app. Now, I talked a lot about crash reporting. I'm sure you guys want to find out how to integrate this Hockey SDK and how difficult it is to get crash reporting for your UWP app.
The good news is it's very, very easy. So for UWP, we have a NuGet package that you install and add to your project. There's actually a couple ways to do this. One way is similarly to how we can distribute to Hockey app through a menu item in Visual Studio. We can also enable crash analytics the same way. If I go through this flow, So if I go through this flow, I'll show it again. If I right click on the menu item here, I can go to Hockey app, and instead of doing distribute, I do enable crash analytics. I get a similar sign-in flow that we already talked about. I could use a key and get my token. I can copy that token into that flow and authorize Visual Studio to my account. It's already recognized my name, so it's selected it for me. And if I hit finish, Visual Studio will already do all the work for me. But rather than do that for this demo, I want to show you what actually happens underneath the covers. So it's almost as simple. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the NuGet package manager, and I want to browse and find the NuGet package from Hockey app. So I go to the browse window. I search for Hockey app. And what I want is the hockeysdk.uwp. I'm going to select the latest stable version, and I'm going to install it. And so what this does is it takes the package that we wrote specific for UWP and installs it into the application like any NuGet package that you're previously familiar with. Aside from that, one of the key steps is within your application, once it starts sending data back to our service, the data coming from your application needs to be identified. So in order to do that, what I really need is I need the application ID from Hockey app to put into the configuration of my project. So going back to Hockey app and going to the dashboard, if I go to the overview page of my Hello UWP application, you'll see right on the very top, you'll see a field called app ID. And what I want here is I'm gonna wanna copy that app ID and put it into an initialization line of code within my project. So going back to my project here, my package has been installed. Make more space here. I'm going to go to the app.xaml file and into the app constructor. And what I need here is I need a single line of code that initializes the SDK. And as I mentioned earlier, I need the app ID from the portal and put it in the project. And that one line of code is enough to initialize the SDK and initialize crash collection so that from this point on, any crashes that occur in this application will be caught and sent to Hockey app. Now, one thing to note about my application, you already saw this earlier, there's a button called Crash Me. So if I go to my code and look at the implementation of this, you can see that that's not really going to work, and I'm going to get a divide by zero error. So in order to demonstrate what this looks like within HockeyApp, let's actually run the app. And crash it. So it comes up here, I hit the Crash Me button. Obviously bad things happen, the application crashes. I'm gonna run it again. Now the reason I run it again is at crash time, what HockeyApp does, and this is true on all of our platforms, is it actually takes the information necessary from the crash and it writes it to disk. We do this because we're not always sure that at crash time we're actually able to make a network call and send any information back to HockeyApp. So in order to be reliable and capture the vast majority of crashes, we write it to disk, so then on the next application startup, the crash is collected and sent off to the HockeyApp service. So now if I go back to the portal, we should be able to see the crash that just occurred in my application. And so the first view here is a crash group view, we call it. And so what you'll see here is you'll see a collection of crash groups, a crash group being defined as any number of crashes that essentially have the same signature. You can think of this as being simply the same call stack that occurred multiple times. If I click within the crash group, I get more details about the specific crash, including if I scroll down the specific call stack that occurred.
Jacob, that's cool. And we have this happening all the time in our apps, unfortunately. And also in our team, we use some type of bug tracking system because generally we don't like to have a list of our bugs everywhere on the internet and we want to have them centralized in one place. In our team, we do this with Visual Studio Team Services, yep. And I'm hoping that you can show a bit how this works in practice.
Absolutely. So first off, within the crash group and the crash itself, we have this status button that you can see here. So if you don't use any other system, you could actually track status from within HockeyApp itself. But that's, I'd say, atypical, and a lot of teams use some other system. And in order to configure that, you can configure a bug tracker within HockeyApp to connect up your crashes to that system. I go to the bug tracker tab, I see that there isn't anything there yet, but I can hit configure tracker, and it takes me to a menu within HockeyApp that shows all the various platforms that we support. As I mentioned earlier, the code is already on Visual Studio Team Services, and so what I'm going to want to do here is actually connect it up through the Visual Studio Team Services connection. For Visual Studio Team Services, we actually have a special menu item here that allows you to configure it directly, and you hit configure. And what it does is it takes you through an authorization flow where you authorize HockeyApp to gain access to your Visual Studio Team Services account. I'm going to do that because that's what we're trying to achieve here. And then it takes me back to HockeyApp and it gives me a choice of which Visual Studio Team Services account I would like to use. I actually only have one with this particular account, so I'm going to load projects from it. And here I can select which project I would like to use. In this case, it's the Hello UWP project. I can also select which area within Visual Studio Team Services I'd like work items opened underneath. And it gives me a couple pretty cool options. What I could do if I want is I can actually have tickets auto-created anytime a new crash group occurs or anytime I get new feedback. For crash groups, we would create a bug, whereas for feedback, we would create a task. And while this is pretty cool, for the purposes of this, I'm not going to set that, and I'm actually just going to create it manually from the crash that we already had. So I've saved the configuration. Now I'm going to go back to my crashes view, and I'm going to go back to that crash and go to that same bug tracker tab. But now, instead of seeing an option to configure it, I have the option to create a new ticket. And from here, I can put whatever information I want, but the default information is actually pretty cool. And so when I save that and link through to my Visual Studio Team Services account, you can see that the stack information, the reason, are already included right there. But it doesn't just stop there. The cool thing about this is you can go back to HockeyApp as well. You have a link here, plus the status is bound two ways. So if in Visual Studio Team Services I resolve the bug and save it, when I go back to HockeyApp, I can view that crash group again, and I'll see that it's actually resolved.
That's really cool, and we use this on an everyday basis, not that we have any bugs, but when we do, you use this. And now, Jacob, I talked a bit about the whole crash reporting and .NET Native and symbolication and uploading some files. And I'm sure that maybe some people are not very familiar with all this process. Can you show a bit how this works in real life and in practice?
Yeah, we can talk about that. So obviously, with this particular example, I just have a build that's local. So I have symbols available. I haven't actually enabled .NET Native compilation. So I don't have some of the issues that you mentioned earlier that UWP developers have to deal with when they are when they publish their applications to the store. However, HockeyApp does support that flow, and it's very simple. Essentially, what happens is once you upload your application to the Dev Center is actually the one that takes it and recompiles your application to .NET Native. So the symbols that you have available to you on your development machine prior to that upload are actually not the symbols that are going to be able to be used to symbolicate that stack. Instead, what you need to do as a developer is actually go to the Dev Center and download the symbols from there and upload them into HockeyApp. And you can do that from the specific version that you want to have the symbols match to. You just drag and drop the symbols into the page, and we'll essentially take it. Now, let's say you forgot. Let's say you uploaded your build to HockeyApp, but you forgot to do the symbols. That's OK. If you put the symbols in later, we'll go back and we'll re-symbolicate any of the crashes that we've already collected. This is true across all the platforms, and so it's important to note that if you want to use HockeyApp in production, it's absolutely supported and recommended. You want to be getting crashes not only from your beta builds that you're distributing to a smaller audience, but from builds that you distribute through the stores as well. So at this point, we've got our SDK set up, we've got crash analytics, we've got a build up on HockeyApp. What's next?
What's next, and what we heard from our customers that they want to have next, is to understand more about user behavior and how people are adopting their app and how people are engaging with their app and how these users really start using this app on an everyday basis. To do that, we introduced this new user metrics feature that I talked about. And this user metrics feature, you can use it really for your beta distribution build while trying to understand behavior from beta testers, but you can also use it in real production apps and understand how real people out there are using your application. To show the concepts, I am gonna show app that we have developed in HockeyApp, and it's an app out there in production. It's used by quite many people, as you're gonna see, so it has a lot of data that it can be showcased, and we can really understand what HockeyApp is tracking and how this shows in a real-world app. Later, Jacob is going to show all this concept for the Hello UWP app, but since for now I'm the only user of the Hello UWP app, the data displayed for this app would not be too useful. So let's focus on this real production app and see how things work. First thing that I want to know as a developer, once I know more about crash reports and about really specific crash reports that my app is getting, is all these crash reports from a statistical point of view. So how many crash reports do I get per day? How many? How often my app is crashing? And generally, what is the quality that users out there see for my app? And to track this quality, we look at something called crash-free users, which is a number in percentage. And basically, it measures the happy users, the users for which the app has never crashed in a day, as a percentage from the total active users using HockeyApp. And we think this is a really important number. For the app that we are looking at today, the numbers are really high. The average is somehow higher than 99 point something, which we consider a pretty good experience. And we want typically to keep this number as high as possible, ideally 99.99, 100. Yeah. But this crash-free users is something that you should really track for older versions of your app as well as for newer versions. And this is a cool feature of HockeyApp. We allow you to sort all this data based on versions. So if, let's say, yesterday you just pushed out a new version to a few beta users or maybe to your whole organization to try out your new build, then you can really look at these crash-free users on a version basis, and you're going to want to have this number as high as possible. And here you can really define your own quality bar before pushing the app further to the public or maybe to a broader testing environment. And talking about testing environments, if you use HockeyApp for beta distribution, you will want to have a sort of control of how which users and how many testers are really using your application. And to do that, we are counting the number of downloads. And maybe the number of downloads via HockeyApp is not itself extremely interesting, but when you break it down per version and you can understand how many downloads occur for an older version versus the new version you just released, then you will get some really useful information, because ideally, when you have a new version out there, you want to have your testers only trying out your latest version. Now, the center of this user metrics feature is actually understanding more adoption and engagement. And while quality and beta downloads are interesting, they don't tell much about how people are adopting their app and how this app is being used every day and how people are actioning on your app. So to do that, HockeyApp is tracking users and sessions. And on the user side, we are tracking daily active users, monthly active users, as well as new users that your app acquires. So let's say maybe you just had a cool marketing push, or maybe you introduced some great new feature that you think is really great, and you want to find out how many new users your app acquired due to these actions. You can really do that from HockeyApp, and again, we encourage to use a split by version and understand specific user adoption at a version level. Once you understand generally how many people are using your application, you will want to find out, well, how often are these people using my application? It's a big difference whether a user using the application once per day, once per month, or maybe 10 times per day. Hopefully, your users will use your app as often as possible. And to understand how people are using your app, you can look at the session data. And really, by comparing session numbers with user numbers, you can get an understanding of an average of how many times a person is opening an app over a period of time. For this specific app, we are somewhere around 3-4 times per period of time, per week actually, which is pretty good, we consider, given the scope of the app. So we are quite happy with it. But we have some additional questions. And the developers in the team, the same as program managers, really want to find out more about what actions people take in their app and how they're behaving in this app, what screens they like, what buttons they press, and so on. And this is something that not only our team is wondering. This is something that many developer and program management teams out there are wondering on a daily basis. And HockeyApp helps you to find out this information by tracking custom events on your behalf. And I'm going to explain a bit how this works and show a bit how this works for the specific app. And then we're going to move later to Jacob's demo, and we're going to see how specifically to instrument your UWP app to start tracking custom events. Generally, as a best practice, we recommend that you firstly ask yourself what questions you want to get answers to. You really define the questions very well, and then you start instrumenting your app. And then by instrumenting your app, you can get some great information and some great data. And based on this data, you can start taking decisions, not only depending on who in your team has louder opinions, but really looking at data and numbers and understanding how people really use your app. So in the case of the app that we have today in the slides, we instrumented this app with 5 events. And let's look at the first event, which is called app detail. Probably it means whenever somebody clicked an app detail button or maybe an app detail page. I'm not really sure how we show that. And the app detail page, as you can see on Jacob's monitor, you can see the event count over a period of time, which means how many times a specific event was clicked in an app, as well as how many unique users have clicked this event over the same period of time. Something we also provide is unique users in percentage, and this really will help you understand whether how popular this feature is, not only for the people who are using it, but overall for the whole user base. That's custom events. We really recommend using it and start asking yourself questions before you actually have to get answers to them, and instrument your app in time and really understand how users are using your app and what's their behavior out there. Now, Jacob, again, I talked a lot. Can you show us some demo and how to do that in your Hello UWP app?
I can. I'm a little bit sad because this is very easy. And so the demo is not going to be terribly long. So first off, I don't have to do anything to get the basic user and session information that you already talked about. The initialization line that I already showed makes it so that our SDK starts collecting user and session data automatically on your behalf. So there isn't anything that I need to do other than what I've already done. Now, in order to get a little bit more out of it, you mentioned custom events. So I've got a couple buttons here. I have an event me button. We can guess what we want that button to do.
It's so, going to send an event.
Yes. So going back to the code, similarly to initialization, this is as simple as adding one line of code. So the method is called track event, and it takes one parameter, which is the name of the event that you want to send. In this case, the event me button is the name that I've selected. And so once I start using this application and sending it out to people, I can start seeing, just as we showed in the slide earlier, how many users are actually clicking on that button and how many of them are clicking on that button relative to the whole population. So for example, if I have some button buried deep in a menu somewhere that nobody ever finds, I would know right away that that button's never clicked, and maybe then I can remove that button and if I determine that it's essentially not needed. One thing that I think is important to call out at this point is HockeyApp is collecting user and session information, so one of the things that we get asked a lot is, well, what about personal information? What about PII? And the reality is HockeyApp, we don't by default collect any of that, so you don't need to worry. Obviously, if you're putting things in event names, which I've seen some interesting choices that developers have made in the past of what they actually put in, that's kind of up to you, and you shouldn't be doing those things in terms of getting PII in there, but by default, we don't collect any private information.
And now, if you are already a user of HockeyApp and you might wonder why you don't see any events in your SDK or why your app doesn't have any events on their dashboard, events is right now a preseason feature. And what preseason means is nothing that special. It's just it means that we started developing this feature recently and we want to get some early feedback from you, our customers. And we really encourage you, if you want to try out this feature, go to the preseason page in your account settings, apply to preseason. Somebody in our team will approve you as soon as possible, but if you don't hear from us, please ping us and we're gonna approve you on the spot. And really try out custom events, give us feedback. We are trying to improve this feature, and yeah, just let us know what you think and what we can do better. We are happy to listen from you and to improve it.
Absolutely.
So now Jacob showed some demos, and I'm a PM, so and even for me, this integration seems to be really, really easy. Only one line of code, it seems pretty easy. But when I'm thinking about having a new build every single day or every single week and having to do the distribution steps for each build, things start to seem a bit more difficult and seems like it's adding a lot of overhead to my development cycle, which is something that we all hate. We don't want this to happen. And we want our developers to be really successful, and we encourage you to iterate quickly and to move fast and get really a really high quality bar. And you can do that by following some DevOps cycle. And we hear about DevOps all the time, and probably you do as well. And this notion is really like, seems like nobody has like a really single one definition of what DevOps is about. And I want to make sure that for today's talk, we will all understand the same things by DevOps to avoid any questions about that. Oh, talking about questions, if you guys have any questions, let us know, write them. We're gonna address them at the end of the talk. So please shoot us questions. Okay, so where was I?
DevOps,
yes.
What's the definition?
DevOps. So DevOps is about iterating quickly over your product and bringing it from idea to a real product out there in the world. And all of this while really keeping a very high quality bar, moving fast, iterating quickly, and getting this to be an automated process. And when we look at the mobile world, things are a bit more complicated than the traditional DevOps process, because we see so many devices, especially in the Android world. I think everybody lost count of how many devices there are out there. And there are so many special testing to do and so many test coverage cases to do. And even the distribution process, as I mentioned before, seems to be so more complicated. And at Microsoft, we really want to take these DevOps best practices and apply them to mobile. And we have a set of great products that help you do that and really get that end-to-end flow going from one start to the end. And these products are Xamarin Test Cloud, HockeyApp, and Visual Studio Team Services. And today we are not going to talk about all the best practices. We have different sessions online and we have a bunch of materials talking about all best practices. And we will not talk about unit testing or Xamarin Test Cloud today, although they're very interesting and we really advise you to have a look at them. What we will talk about today is our two steps from this mobile DevOps flow. They are the continuous integration and continuous deployment steps. Continuous integration is something that most of you are already probably doing it, and if you're not doing it, you should definitely start doing it as soon as possible. And what continuous integration is about is basically every time somebody in your team is pushing a change, it's checking in a change in your code, we want to have an automated build that runs and also has some unit testing or some testing that automatically run. So basically, as a team, you want that for each check-in, at the end of the check-in, to know as fast as possible, was that build successful? Are the tests succeeding? If they're not succeeding, what you should improve? And in case the tests are succeeding and everything looks great, the next thing you're going to want to do is to start pushing this build to a few testers. Maybe these are your internal dev team, because we usually want to try out things ourselves before pushing it to the real users out there. Maybe you want to deploy it to a set of external, maybe QA team that you're working on, or different people. And to do that, you can very easily achieve with Visual Studio Team Services and Hokiep. Basically, what you're going to do is that you will do a continuous deployment. As soon as the build is successful, push it out to Hokiep, and Hokiep will take care of distributing it to your users and to the testers that you have previously invited. Again, a lot of talking. Jacob, can you show us what this means in practice and really how this Visual Studio Team Services works?
Sure. So dropping back into the code and showing how we make this all happen in an automated fashion. What we really want to do is we want to do two things. We're going to want to enable a automated build, and then we're going to want, as a step of that build, for the build to actually be uploaded to HockeyApp. So I'm going to go to Visual Studio Team Services. I mentioned earlier that my code is already up there. And within Visual Studio Team Services, I go to the Build tab. And from here, I have a way to create an automated build with a set of steps that will produce out the UWP project that I already have here locally. And in order to do that, we hit new build definition here. We're doing a universal Windows platform application. And for that, there's already a predefined template. And it gives me a few simple choices. I need to say which repository I want to use. Again, the Hello UWP repository is where my code is. I can pick which branch. In this case, I only have a master branch. But if I have different branches for different development, I can have different builds producing depending on the branch. And it gives me a choice of when I want to trigger this particular build. Since we've been talking about continuous integration, what I really want here is I want this build to be triggered every time a check-in happens. So I'm going to check that box. And then I can also pick what set of build agents I want to use. In this case, I want to use the hosted agents provided by Visual Studio Team Services, because I really don't want to manage my own build server. I'd much prefer Microsoft do that for me. I'm going to create my build definition, and it already predefines a few steps that are ready for me to use. And at this point, I already have a build definition. If I save this, I'm ready to go. Every time somebody checks in, it will produce a build. But all it really does with that build is it publishes it out to a server share, and then I can download it. But that isn't really what I'm looking for. What I really want is I want to take that build, and I want to make it available to my testers, as we talked about earlier. And so one cool way to do that is to actually add a build step within my build that publishes to HockeyApp. Now, in order to do this, the first thing I had to do was actually install an extension into my Visual Studio Team Services account that you can get from Visual Studio Marketplace. I've already done that step here. And so when I go to adding a build step and go to the deploy section, I have an option to deploy to HockeyApp. I'm going to add that step and actually remove my publishing steps. In this case, I don't need them because my published destination is HockeyApp. Now, in order to configure this, I need to do a few things. One thing I need to do is I need to connect it up to HockeyApp. I've predefined a connection already, but I can show you how easy that is to do. The same Visual Studio Team Services extension that I mentioned earlier provides a new connection type within Visual Studio Team Services. And so I can create a new service endpoint for HockeyApp. And similar to the API token process that we looked at earlier for connecting up Visual Studio, I can connect up Visual Studio Team Services. going back to my build definition, once I have that, the next thing I need is the application ID. Similarly to how we collect data from within the application, we need to be able to tell Visual Studio Team Services which actual app within HockeyApp this build belongs to. So going back to my application overview page, I'll pull the same app ID out, and I will copy that into my build definition. Now, the last thing I need to do is specify which binary file I actually want to send up to HockeyApp. We've talked about this earlier. With UWP, there's an additional step that's necessary to produce a zip file with all the necessary pieces in place so you can actually deploy the application. One way to do that is to build it into your actual project. Another way to do that, which I'm going to show quickly here, is configuring it as a PowerShell step. So I can add a build step here. In the utility section, I can see a PowerShell step, which I need to be done before I deploy to HockeyApp. And I need to specify the script that I want. I've already put in a script into my project earlier that shows how to zip up that will zip up the necessary files. And I need to pass some arguments to it, essentially specifying which directory I want to zip up. And now, having this step, I can go to the deploy step, and I can specify the binary path where my zip file is, so that Visual Studio Team Services knows what to deploy. Now, we went through the flow earlier of uploading a build manually, and you saw some of the options. You'll find that the options exist here as well. I can decide whether I want to publish the build. I can decide whether I want it to be mandatory. I can decide whether I want to notify any of my users that the build is available. And I can also put in release notes. I can either type release notes in directly, but really, if this is a continuous process, my release notes are changing build to build. So instead, I can point it to a file within my repository that developers, when they make changes to my application, will edit, and the build step will pick it up, and it will actually publish those build steps within that version that is then made available to HockeyApp. Another thing to mention here is, so this is a very simple flow. This is the type of flow that I use in a lot of just sample and demo applications that I work on myself, or just for personal projects. If this is a project that you're really managing in a team, you may want more control over whether or not you release any given version to a group of testers, or maybe even the store. One cool feature that we have in Visual Studio Team Services is called release management. And within release management, I can set up a very similar flow that will allow me to deploy to HockeyApp only after an approval process is met. And so, very similarly to how the build definition works, I create an empty definition here, and I specify which. I didn't save the build definition. Sorry about that. I'll create an empty one real quick so that we can see what that flow looks like. I won't go through all the setup. Create, save, and I'll go back to release management here. And so from here, I can specify the build definition that I already created earlier, and hit create. And so it creates an empty template for me. In release management, we have this notion of environment. Environment is something that you can think about as a group, in case of mobile, of release that you want to do. It could be your first ring of testers that are just in your team. It could be maybe a larger set of teams within your enterprise. It could actually be even the Google Play Store, for example. In this case, we'll just leave it as is. But the one thing that I want to show is I want to show that I can essentially assign approvers. And so from here, I can say, before this is actually deployed, I would like a specific set of users to approve whether or not this build should go out. And then once that approval step happens, what you can see here is I can add a deployment task, which we've already looked at, is very similar to the build. And in fact, the steps are exactly the same, and the configuration is exactly the same. But how this is different is it allows you to manage that process with an approval step before the actual deployment happens. So depending on what you're trying to accomplish with continuous delivery and continuous integration, you can use either approach to produce the result that you want.
That's great. Jacob, I think right now we are done with the demos. And before jumping into answering some of the questions, let's wrap it up. And we want to give you some advice and some best practices that we recommend for you and your Universal Windows Platform app, as well as for any type of other mobile apps you might want to develop. First thing we want to talk about is about distribution and about engaging with external beta testers as soon as possible. It is extremely important when you build a product to really understand what people want. And with HockeyApp and beta distribution, we make it very easy to push your builds from your machine or from your CI build to users' devices, for users to give you feedback and to engage in a two-way conversation for them. And this two-way conversation is really extremely important. It will allow you to iterate fast and to deliver successful products. The second thing we want to advise is enable crash reporting and use HockeyApp, whether this is for your development build and you're trying to understand what crashes occur to other devs in your team, or whether it is for already an app already out there in the store used by hundreds of thousands of people. Do use crash reporting, monitor how your app is working, and don't forget to upload your symbol file if you really want to get some usable line of codes out there and to understand why and where the app is crashing. Third thing, remember to look at user metrics. Remember to understand how many people are using your app, how often they're using your app, and also to instrument your app in such a way that later when you're gonna have a lot of questions, or maybe one of your colleagues is gonna have a bunch of questions, your app is already instrumented and you can get some sort of data to help you to take some better decisions for your product. Last but not least, move quick, but don't forget about quality. And try to automate your processes, use Visual Studio Team Services, use HockeyApp, use Xamarin Test Cloud to get some great device coverage out there to understand if the build is successful, take it out to people at every single build, and yeah, just automate and try to move quickly. So this is all from our side. Start using HockeyApp. I hope that by this end of this session, some of you already have created a HockeyApp account. This is for free for up to two apps. You're gonna get two free apps with all features of HockeyApp included, so you are able to try out HockeyApp right now. Follow us our blog. We post a bunch of stuff. We post news, new collaborations, new features that we have, and our blog is very active. Also, tweet at us. Our handler is HockeyApp, obviously. And we have a Slack channel where our whole development team is there. We have a bunch of customers there. People ask questions, give us feedback. We are very happy to hear about you, to hear about your feedback. Hopefully you have good words, but if you don't have only good words, let us know. We are really trying to improve everything. And yeah, our whole dev team is out there. We are happy to talk to you. And I think we have a few questions. Jacob, let's answer.
Sure.
You can pick one. Your choice.
So one of the questions was from Ethan, and he asked, can you talk a little bit about the process of making people test my iOS prototypes? So I'm not sure if the emphasis is on the word making, meaning that you force people to do it. I assume it's on how do you actually distribute iOS applications. Mm-hmm. And so the trick with iOS in particular is whether or not a beta build will be able to be installed on a device. So the invitation flow that we showed you for UWP, there's a similar flow for an iOS application that allows you to actually collect the UDID from the device, which then you have to actually go into Xcode and put into your provisioning profile so that you can distribute a build out to your testers that is approved to use on that UDID. If you are within an enterprise and you're using an enterprise provisioning profile, that isn't a necessary step.
Sounds great. I think that was it from our side. You can start using HockeyApp today. As said, we have two free apps. Please reach out to us, tweet us, write us on Slack, write us to support@hockeyapp.net if you have any questions. If you are already using HockeyApp, onboard to preseason and try out some of our new cool features. And yeah, I think that was it from our side.
Yep. Thanks for listening.